We're glad you're joining us today. This is Tom and Julie Meekins of Champions for Parents, a ministry that seeks to empower and encourage all parents, especially those raising a child with special needs or any kind of challenges. Our goal is to help you as a parent to be a champion for your child. On today's podcast, we're going to talk about when children get stuck in their development. Stay tuned for our Bible message and for a particular hiccup in development that could be causing your child's struggles. And more importantly, what you can do about it.
Yeah, when you talk about getting into a stuck situation, we'll call that getting into a rut.
Yes.
So we're going to call this development rut buster.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Bible message that we're going to concentrate on, we know that God is the creator of all things, especially our bodies, especially our children, especially when we've just spent 3 weeks with our granddaughter, who's 5 months old now,
and her mama,
and watching her develop is just amazing in just over 3 weeks. And we know that every little detail is planned out and designed by our Lord. And so when we get stuck, when we get into the rut, there are things that we can do to facilitate the next steps. So stay tuned, and Julie will give you some very specific and
practical
details coming up. But let's look at Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4, and then 13 through 18. And this talks specifically about our Lord, our God, and how he intricately knows us. Here we go. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. And then down in verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. That's God's word from Psalm 139. Very precious, how he knows us. He has searched us. He has formed us. Beautiful, beautiful thoughts that we are not alone. You are not alone, parent.
It's amazing to think about the way that God designed our bodies. And when all things go well, how all the systems, the body systems, work together.
Yes.
For the best of your body as it works physically, and your mind as it works with emotions and as it works with bringing in information. So today we're going to talk about just a continuation of that, understanding that God develops our bodies, but sometimes there are hiccups. And I like when it says in the scripture that God knows us from the secret place. And so sometimes when our children are in the secret place, when they're being formed, some hiccups can happen. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about primitive reflexes. And as Tom said, we're going to call that the developmental rut buster. It's kind of hard to say that. You have to really concentrate. So I'm going to ask you a question. Does your child have any one of these concerns? Balance, allergies, respiratory infections, muscle tone, difficulty accepting criticism, mood swings, low self-esteem, insecurity. If you've answered yes to any of these concerns, it's possible that your child has something that we call retained reflexes. And it's not just us that call it that. So let's talk about the word reflexes. Most likely, you're familiar with reflexes as maybe it's associated with that little hammer that the doctor uses on your knee. You've probably seen that scenario featured in many cartoons and slapstick comedies. The doctor here is testing the patellar reflex, known as the stretch reflex. There are many other reflexes, and the ones we want to talk about here are the primitive reflexes. Early in your child's development, while still in utero, he or she should have developed certain reflexes. What we hope for is that these reflexes, namely Morrow, Palmer, ATNR, or asymmetrical tonic neck reflex, spinal gallant, tonic labyrinth, or symmetrical tonic reflex, integrate with higher level reflexes as the child grows. That's what's supposed to happen. Sometimes they do not integrate. They become what is called retained reflexes. Why do we want to talk about retained reflexes? Because they can keep your child stuck in certain stages of development. We wish we knew about the integration and retention of reflexes when our kids were babies, but we're really happy to know all about it now so that we can inform you. So, sometimes symptoms of the earlier development latch on longer than they should, or that word, retain. The concerns we already shared with you could potentially be due to retained reflexes. The good news is that there are things you can do about it. We have had the privilege of sharing this information with many parents and have coached them to do activities to open pathways in the brain to make new connections to help those primitive reflexes to integrate the way that they're supposed to. Retained reflexes can cause developmental delays and hiccups all along the way of a child's development. If your child is prone to any of the concerns we've already shared, or meltdowns, learning issues, awkward social skills, speech difficulties, sensory integration struggles, walking gait concerns, poor handwriting, bedwetting, bowel problems, poor memory, emotional struggles, and really any developmental struggle, you may want to investigate this whole idea of retained reflexes. The work of Sally Goddard, especially her book, Reflexes, Learning and Behavior, A Window into the Child's Mind, has been very helpful in giving us good information on reflexes and the what to do about it piece when symptoms of retained reflexes linger. We've had the privilege of sharing her information with parents who desire to work with their children to check to see if there might be retained reflexes. Again, remember, the cool thing is that there are activities to stimulate the brain that can bring in development and help the reflexes to integrate. That's the piece we want to give you today. We can't go into all the details of all the activities and everything that you can do, but if you know this, knowledge is power, right? If you know that reflexes, retained reflexes, could potentially be causing your child's problems, that is helpful information, isn't it? And then you can pursue what you're going to do about it. Okay. So the next part of the podcast today is our tip for the week. So I was sitting down with our daughter, as Tom shared earlier. Our daughter has been here, our oldest daughter has been here with her five-month-old, almost six-month-old, for the last 3 weeks while some renovations were happening in on her home. And like Tom said, the development has been absolutely amazing watching her. She learned how to sit up on her own by herself for long periods of time. And she is definitely stretching to grab everything she can possibly grab and put into her mouth. So it's been fun to watch that process. So I was sitting with Katie and I said, okay, we need a tip for the week. What are we going to talk about in our tip for the week for this podcast? And she said that on some of her mommy groups on Facebook, that there was a lot of discussion about potty training. So we thought, okay, well, we can do that. Now, we understand that people who listen to us on these podcasts have children that are developing in all different stages. Not only typically developing stages all throughout growing a child, but also those who get stuck or have a syndrome or have some kind of developmental delay. And so we know that sometimes our kids get stuck in certain spots. So your person, your little child that you are wanting to potty train could be any different age. And we understand that. And we want you to know that this is going to be a topic of discussion, and we want to bring in the idea that there are older children also that we're working with to potty train because of whatever else is going on with them. So that's our tip for the week. It's all about potty training. So I went to do some research, and I found an article, and we're going to use that as our jumping off spot for today. The article was through the Mayo Clinic, and we'll put the link on the show notes so that you can have that in case you want to go looking for that as well.
Yeah, it's at mayoclinic.org, just for information, and we'll get specific in the show notes.
Because mayoclinic.org probably has a gazillion articles, right? So we will get detailed with that. Okay, so potty training. This is from the Mayo Clinic article. Potty training, how to get the job done. Potty training is a major milestone. Get the facts on timing, technique, and handling the inevitable accidents. Potty training is a big step for kids and parents alike. The secret to success? Timing and patience. Is it time? Potty training success hinges on physical and emotional readiness, not a specific age.
Very important.
We love that. Okay, so this is our side note. We're always going to let you know when there's a side note and that we're not quoting the article. So it is very important for typically developing children as well as those who are not developing typically. It don't concentrate on the age. Look for the signs of readiness, okay? Some of our kids who are hurt kids who have some kind of syndrome or have some kind of brain injury or are developmentally delayed greatly, we're going to look for these signs, but we also know that we can probably build these signs into our kids as we develop them. So I want to stop and say here that our Amy, did nothing in her development without help. So this is an important concept right now that I want to share with you. So as a parent, we could have said, oh, well, she can't do that, so we're going to live with what she can't do. Or we can say, wouldn't it be nice if she could do that for her sake? Is there anything that we can do to help facilitate that? So maybe we wanted to work on facilitating that. And that's what we did with a lot of her development. Now, sometimes our children are physically incapable with whatever is going on with them. It is possible that there are some children who are physically incapable of moving forward in a certain direction. And we want to be wise, of course. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is don't sell your child short. You know, investigate. See if there's a possibility that you can bring in some more development for them. So that whole point about not a specific age. Now let me continue with the article from Mayo Clinic. Many kids show interest in potty training by age 2, but others might not be ready until 2.5 or even older, and there's no rush. If you start potty training too early, it might take longer to train your child. Okay, side note. We know from having raised 4 children that if you try to potty train too early, it's really about training you, not the child. So it becomes more of a project because it's not going to happen if they're not ready. Now, we can set up everything in place, and we're going to talk about that, to make them ready or to help them be ready. But if they're not ready, you know, okay. So let's talk about these signs. All right. Is your child ready? Ask yourself these questions.
Okay. Does your child seem interested in the potty chair or toilet, or in wearing underwear? Can your child understand and follow basic directions? Does your child tell you through words, facial expressions, or posture when he or she needs to go? Does your child stay dry for periods of 2 hours or longer during the day? Does your child complain about wet or dirty diapers? Can your child pull down his or her pants and pull them up again? Can your child sit on and rise from a potty chair? If you answered mostly yes, your child might be ready for potty training. If you answered mostly no, you might want to wait, especially if your child has recently faced or is about to face a major change such as a move or an arrival of a new sibling. A toddler who opposes potty training today might be open to the idea in a few months.
That's good. And so some of these, is your child ready? Some of these, even if they're not physically able to do some of these things, it has been our experience from a special needs viewpoint that they could be ready. So you have to know your child and not line them up and compare them with other children. But these are some good ideas, especially if you have a typically developing child. If you don't, then, you know, ask yourself those questions and then see, what can I do to help my child to be able to sit down and stand up? You know, what can I do to help my child know how his body is feeling inside so he knows if he has to go? These are the things that Tom and I are most interested in when we work with families and with parents, because we want to give you guys as parents the tools to be able to move that development forward for your children. And there are ways. We're going to share one at the end of this article so that you know one thing at least that you can do. Okay. So the Mayo Clinic article again says, ready, set, go. When you decide it's time to begin potty training, set your child up for success. Start by maintaining a positive attitude and recruiting all of your child's caregivers to do the same. Then follow these steps. Pull out the equipment, place a potty chair in the bathroom or initially wherever your child is spending most of his or her time. Have your child decorate the chair. That's an interesting one.
So it becomes theirs.
Yeah, that's interesting. Encourage your child to sit on the potty chair with or without a diaper or whatever else they're wearing. A pull-up, depend, whatever. Make sure your child's feet rest firmly on the floor or a stool. Help your child understand how to talk about the bathroom using simple, correct terms. And that's for children, obviously, who are verbal. Sometimes we have to, this is a side note, sometimes we have to look at our children who aren't as verbal for cues. And we get to know our children this way, and we can see those cues. Mayo Clinic again. You may dump the contents of a dirty diaper into the potty chair to show its purpose, or let your child see family members using the toilet. Side note, this is excellent advice. I know when we potty trained our first one, she was the hardest one just because she didn't have anybody else except Tom and I, as an example. And so, but with multiple children after that, we had multiple other siblings that could also give that input. And there's something about a child teaching a child. They seem to want to pick it up quicker. Okay, back to the Mayo article. Schedule potty breaks. If your child's interested, have him or her sit on the potty chair or toilet without a diaper for a few minutes several times a day. For boys, it's often best to master urination sitting down and then move to standing up after bowel training is complete. Read a potty training book or give your child a toy to use while sitting in the potty chair or toilet. Stay with your child when he or she is in the bathroom. Even if your child simply sits there, offer praise for trying. And remember your child... And remind your child that he or she can try again later. To maintain consistency, try to bring the potty chair or a portable potty with you when you're away from home with your child. Next, Mayo Clinic, get there fast. When you notice signs that your child might need to use the toilet, such as squirming, squatting, or holding that area, respond quickly. Help your child become familiar with these signals. Stop what he or she is doing and head to the toilet. Praise your child for telling you when he or she has to go. Teach girls to wipe carefully from front to back to prevent bringing germs from the rectum to the vagina or bladder. When it's time to flush, let your child do the honors. It's kind of like putting a check mark putting a check mark on a list when you've gotten something accomplished. Back to Mayo. Make sure your child washes his or her hands afterwards. All right, and then you might want to consider incentives, the Mayo Clinic is suggesting. Some kids respond to stickers or stars on a chart. For others, trips to the park or extra bedtime stories are effective. Reinforce your child's efforts with verbal praise, such as, How exciting! You're learning to use the toilet just like big kids do. Be positive, even if a trip to the toilet isn't successful. Ditch the diapers. After several weeks of successful potty breaks, your child might be ready to trade diapers for training pants or underwear. Celebrate this transition. Go on a special outing. Let your child pick out his or her underwear. Once your child is wearing training pants or regular underwear, avoid overalls, belts, leotards, or other items that could hinder undressing. And sleep soundly. Most children master daytime bladder control first, often within about 2 or 3 months of consistent toilet training. That's most children. Side note, remember, we're dealing with all kinds of children in different stages of their development and some that have gotten stuck. So don't get down on yourself or frustrated with your child if they're not able. Remember, there are things that you can do to help them become able. Nap and nighttime, back to the Mayo Clinic article. Nap and nighttime training might take months or years or longer. In the meantime, use disposable training pants or mattress covers when your child sleeps. And then know when to call it quits. If your child resists using the potty chair or toilet or isn't getting the hang of it within a few weeks, take a break. Chances are he or she isn't ready yet. Try again in a few months. Side note, it's frustrating, we know, because you're ready. You are so ready. But if your child's not, you're just kind of bumping up against things that aren't going to be helpful to you. All right, Mayo Clinic again. Accidents will happen. You might breathe easier once your child figures out how to use the toilet, but expect occasional accidents and near misses. Here's help preventing and handling wet pants. Offer reminders. Accidents often happen when kids are absorbed in activities that, for the moment, are more interesting than using the toilet. To fight this phenomenon, suggest regular bathroom trips, such as first thing in the morning, after each meal and snack, before getting in the car or going to bed. Point out telltale signs of holding it, such as holding the genital area. Stay calm and be prepared. I shortened the end of that because I want to get a point out here. When to seek help is their next little section. Occasional accidents are harmless, but they can lead to teasing, embarrassment, and alienation from peers, especially if your child is typically looking in their development. If your potty trained child reverts or loses ground, especially at age 4 or older, or you're concerned about your child's accidents, contact his or her doctor. Sometimes wetting problems indicate an underlying physical condition, such as a urinary tract infection or an overactive bladder. Prompt treatment can help your child become accident free. And that is certainly true. And that is good advice that the Mayo Clinic is giving you here. Side note, we know for a fact that some children in their development, they don't have the connections in their brain to be able to avoid accidents. They just don't. And so here is an activity that you can do. We've talked about this before in some of our other podcasts for other reasons. But if you have a child who's having a lot of trouble, they have worked on potty training, and you think that they're ready, but these things keep happening, you might want to consider doing deep massages, starting at the toes and going up the feet, up the legs to the thighs, starting with the fingertips, going up the arms to the shoulders. You might want to consider a weighted blanket, a weighted lap pad, a weighted stuffed animal, or a heavy blanket on that bed at night. And also, look at their creeping and crawling. Make sure that there is a good, no matter how old they are, make sure that there is a good cross pattern creeping and crawling. If you don't know what that is, stay tuned to other podcasts and our webinars, and you will learn a little bit more about the importance of a good cross pattern creep and crawl.
Okay, or send us an email if you have any questions.
There you go.
We'll give the email address at the end. So remember, it's never too late. There's always hope for your child. We are Tom and Julie Meekins, and we bring you these podcasts through the ministry Champions for Parents. We are USA missionaries to parents, especially to those who are raising a special needs child or a child with challenges, through pefministry.org. Our goal is to help you as a parent to be a champion for your child. We teach online classes and love to speak in person to parent groups wherever they meet. And we've spoken at parenting conferences mothers of preschoolers, Moms Next, homeschooling groups, and the like. We also like to talk to church groups about our ministry to see if they want to join our team and come on board to offer support, encouragement, and empowerment to all parents, especially those who are raising a child with any kind of challenges within their community and beyond. If you know any parenting groups who are looking for a speaker, send us an email at championsforparents@gmail.com. That's champions4parents@gmail.com. Let's get the conversation started. And if you want to receive our monthly ministry newsletter, please send us an email at the same address, champions4parents, that's a number four, champions4parents@gmail.com. We would love to connect with you.
We know you already have a heart for giving and are looking for ministries that resonate with you. If you too have a heart for kids who struggle and their families, and you're looking to partner financially with a team who deeply cares, who has been there, and who is on the cutting edge of providing opportunities for empowerment for these families, get in touch with us at championsforparents@gmail.com.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to the next time. May you have joy in your parenting journey.
Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.